welcome to Base Camp for Men. I'm your host, Tony Rezac. This is the show that gives you insights and resources on how to live a more courageous life. We'll be looking at men, the current state of masculinity, and how to create a more inspiring narrative for all men. Welcome, and let's get started. Hello, Base Campers. I hope you're all doing well. I was speaking with a good friend of mine, and she asked me how Season 6 has been going, and I found myself saying that I thought Season 6 has been our best one yet. I'm not sure how you feel about it. I think it's the great guests I'm getting more than anything I'm doing, because I'm not doing a ton of writing as I did in seasons past, preferring to let the interview be the important content. And today's guest is another excellent one, and she is another walk away from the left, and these have been some of my favorite episodes over the years. These former liberals who have had an awakening and then taken a hero's journey and the road less traveled. These people are my tribe, and their ability to speak the truth leaves inspiration, courage, and optimism in their wake. And one thing you'll find is you step further into your hero's journey is that it becomes about these sorts of deeper questions, such as what principles or qualities are you going to represent to the human tribe? Where is courage asking you to go next? What role does God want you to play in this war? What side will you fight on? Will you fight on the side of the globalists with their strange Marxist ideas and dreams of more and more control of us, the useless eaters to use their vernacular? Or will you fight on the side of the children and innocents, God and humanity, being a pillar of light in this fight for our future and our freedom? Which side is more in alignment with your core, with who you are? I had an extremely wise medicine woman in my past. Her name was Starlin Nelson. After a particularly moving session, Starlin was a clairvoyant and knew things about you that only a deeply skilled mystic and healer could know. She predicted that I would one day have a radio show of sorts, speaking to lots of people, which I thought was a weird prediction at the time, as I don't even think podcasts had been invented yet. And then the last thing she said to me, she's no longer with us, she said, Tony, there will come a time when you will have to choose between your friends and the truth. And then with a twinkle in her eye, she said, I know you'll choose wisely. And I did. Which path will you choose, base campers? The well-worn path of ignorance, denial, and deception that has been set out before us? This is the path that the herd is on, blindly trusting quote-unquote authorities that don't like humans. Or will you choose the road less traveled? The path of humanity in the divine light, the one that protects innocence and our children and our future. I know you'll choose wisely, base camper. Enjoy the interview. Today's episode is brought to you by Stand Up Now Apparel. Stand Up Now has amazing designs centered on God, family, freedom, and patriotism. They use only the softest cotton in their designs and have gear for the whole family. There's something for everyone, base campers. I know you're going to love their products. Go support them at www.standupnowapparel.com and use the code BASECAMP to receive a 10% discount and free shipping. And now, on to our interview. My guest today is Jessica Arburn. Jessica is a mother, a patriot, another walkaway from the left, and the director of Mom Army, a group of courageous women standing to protect our children. Here is my interview with Jessica Arburn. All right, I am here with Jessica Arburn, patriot and Mom Army from Mom Army, Jessica Arburn. Jessica, welcome to Base Camp for Men. It's great to have you on the show.
It is great to be here. Thank you so much for the invitation.
You bet. You know, I saw your, I first spotted you on Instagram. I don't do social media much. I'm kind of a little bit of a, I just kind of go on Instagram and I follow some patriots and I saw you with Mom Army. I'm like, huh, what's that? Turns out we both know Pamela Garfield Yeager, who I just had on the show. So what a small world. We're all traveling in these great circles. But I wanted to reach out and then, you know, I didn't know very much about you. So I kind of sent you this, you know, what do you want to talk about? And you sent me this great email back with all these great points. You and I have had such a similar journey in so many ways. You know, my listeners know that I'm a longtime liberal. I was a liberal for 30 years, a proud liberal, you know, and that really shifted for me in about 2016. I've been through that with my listeners. They know what the, you know, how I awakened. But I just wanted to ask you, you know, what you used to be a liberal, correct? Like a California liberal?
California liberal. Yep, yeah. Born and raised.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess just tell us to start with just like, I guess, a little bit about yourself, where you're at now, but also most importantly, like, what happened? Like, you're a California liberal. There's still a lot of them. There's still a lot of them up here in Seattle, but you had this unique kind of hero's journey away from that camp. And so what happened? What had you start to question things and awaken to maybe, I don't know if this is the right way.
Well, that is, I have a similar journey. Many people during 2020 woke up to an agenda. But I'll kind of backtrack a little bit, just to give you a context of myself and, kind of where I've been in this country that we love. I did grow up in California. I was there until I was about 18 years old. Grew up with just loving and still do love the state. It's a fabulous, wonderful, diverse, incredible state. Always been very proud of it. I spent some time on the East Coast. I have three children. They were all born in New Jersey. I spent some time in New York and New Jersey, about 15 years, and began to make my way back west via Virginia. So I've lived in a variety of different climates, culturally and from a temperature perspective, seasonally. And then I've landed here in Phoenix, Arizona, which is where I currently am. And looking back, California just became a place that I wasn't going to go back to. Mm-hmm. And even more so since 2020. So, I've never been a huge political person. So for me to align politically, it was just more about what the politics involved from a human standpoint. Always been a big advocate for civil liberties and people just kind of doing their own thing and doing what I thought was the right thing. Mm-hmm. Cut to 2020 and just this insanity that from the very beginning felt very strange. Mm-hmm. An imposition of ideals and, these new words that were popping up, mandates. And really, I began questioning early on. I think what allowed me to question is that I was raising a son that had potentially been on the autism spectrum. And mm-hmm. so I had very early on gone into research on vaccinations and nutrition. So I was a little bit aware of this sort of corporate greed that could infuse itself into our lives. And so I was maybe primed to question things a little bit differently. But when COVID popped up, obviously we were scared and concerned. And it took me about 2 weeks. And I remember there was a point in time when I was, just kind of listening and unsure. And I was a parent and all of a sudden our kids weren't going back to school and, taking things seriously, but also beginning to question how long I was going to do this. And right. It took me about 2 weeks, to be honest.
That's not a lot of time.
Yeah. It really wasn't, it was really, and I just realized I wasn't going to live my life in that manner. As I was considering Lysoling down my grocery bags, I just thought, this is insane. I can't do this. Mm-hmm. And so luckily I had some resources along the way because of some of my research. And one of my resources early on was Robert Kennedy Jr. I was following him on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And he had been, he's a huge advocate for children. He fights against the big pharma and, the vaccines and all of these things. And so he was kind of someone it was a little bit of a lighthouse for me that I was seeking information from. Mm-hmm. And as I was doing that, I was asking questions. And of course, I have a very strong presence still in California with my friends and family and still very connected in that way. And, I'm kind of bouncing questions off of them and getting very different responses than the Wild West that I live in out here in Arizona, which is another thing to consider. When you're going through a pandemic, potentially your location, it should be pretty consistent, the experience that you're having. And right away, Arizona wasn't really complying. So I was in a little bit of an easier space, I will say, versus a lot of other people's experiences. Mm-hmm. But for me, I think the biggest wake up was going to check out, I thought for a second, and I was getting a lot of information from Instagram at that point, a lot of amazing connections. And I think we've all had that experience. And I'd recognized that I hadn't heard from RFK's account for a while. So I sought him out and I have a screenshot of it to this day. he was deplatformed. He was taken down for beginning to question what was happening with COVID and so forth. And that was just astounding to me, because not only was I questioning what was going on, I also was experiencing censorship on a level that I could not actually fathom. And on top of that, I reached out to family members. I was raised by a history teacher, an AP high school history teacher. And my dad has always been my guiding light from that perspective. And when I questioned him about this censorship, and I won't forget this either, I texted him and I received the response,
That was it.
And time and time again, I have received that response from many, many California friend and family. And it's such a condescending, like, not cool response from my perspective. So that was really kind of, and I'm sorry if that was a long-winded explanation, but that was just that sort of pivot point of something's not right here.
Did you lose a bunch of friends? I mean, I still have a whole bunch of friends that I've been friends with for 25 years, and I don't know if I'll talk to some of these people ever again, literally. Like, I was also kicked off of Twitter on the vaccine thing, because I did an episode where I was asking a doctor who was having serious doubts about whether we should be lunging into mass vaccination, saying, we don't really, these haven't been tested properly. You know, that was the gist of the episode. Man, did I got all kinds of grief and got booted permanently off Twitter and all this stuff. And I think it primed some of my friends to say, he's a crazy anti-vaxxer with a tinfoil hat on. Ha 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 ha. Now, it turns out I was right, right? Like, and I'm not going on the show, or I'm not like, you dumbasses, we tried to warn you. Like, that's not been my attitude. I'm trying to help people move through it. I've even had people on talking about protocols to get better after they've taken one or two or three of these things, like things that will help them detox from the spike proteins. You know, I've even had people on talking about that. Like, I'm not a door shut, ha ha, I was right, you were wrong. But I think it was just from an ego standpoint, it was a massive fall off the pedestal for these liberals who were like, these crazy anti-vaxxers don't understand science. And then it's like, they come to find out, wait a minute, if I'm honest, I was saying the science, but I was just trusting Fauci. And it turns out, you know, he's just an agent for Big Pharma, like, literally, you know. And it's like, it's a hard, oh no, I was wrong. And I didn't see a whole lot of people saying, damn it, I was wrong. I got nobody reaching out to me saying, shit, dude, I'm sorry. I was gossiping about you and calling you an idiot to everybody I could tell to. Turns out I'm starting, you know, even a little bit of a, like, I think you might have been right, you know, like, because I know I am. And I don't think it's a coincidence that literally of the people that I know that didn't get vaccinated, there is not one single soul that is like, oh man, I wish I would have got it. But there is a whole lot of people I know that's like, shit, what did I do? Why did I get two of these? You know, I even had somebody I know that was on the show that said, I feel like I got a ticking time bomb. I'm hoping I got one of the saline batches. You know, I hope I didn't get a juiced up mRNA, you know, where I get turbo cancer in another year, you know? So
sure,
they know, but they're not acknowledging. And I guess that's a long-winded, like, riff of, did you lose a bunch of friends? Because I think I lost probably, you know, at least a dozen that I'm unsure where we're at this point.
Sure. And yeah, similar experience. Although I will say what I've gained from that loss, as far as community and family, my chosen family, I'm happy to have lost that.
Yeah, me too.
You know, the people, it really was a defining moment. And there's just so much to unpack about that time period, especially on a psychological level. I mean, we're just wading through, you know, I'm looking forward to Nuremberg 2.0. I cannot wait for that. That's happening.
Me too. Yep.
But yeah, you know, the saddest thing for me is the family members. You know, I can handle what, and you will find out about the, you know, as we talk, like my heart for children, it always comes back to the kids for me. So I can handle, being called crazy. I've never really cared much about what other people think about me. Now, of course, my inner circle and people that I love, I do care about that. But from a grander scope of like just people I don't know, I've never really cared from that perspective. So that's helped me in this. But I do have family members that to this day will not speak to me or see my children. That hurts. And, you know, there are a couple things that will come to a head at a certain point in time, you know, and even having a conversation with my own father, who, you know, supported me, but also said, you know, yeah. Jesse, only my family calls me Jesse, but there, you know, Jesse, there's consequences for your choices. And he was referring to the fact that he didn't think I should be allowed in public.
Wow. It's a little ironic he's saying that, those consequences, right?
Yeah. Sure. So I am a big believer in the quiet moments, alone in the dark, all of those things where people you do not escape your actions. And I don't need to be right. I just need to know that I was right for myself and for my family. And that's where I feel okay.
That's so well said. I mean, I think that, and that was always my beef with people too, Jessica, was like, I was like, I'm just doing what I feel is best for me and my family. Like, and then the herd up here in Seattle is like, you know, he needs to go to re-education camp. We should quarantine these people. I'm like, these people are insane. Yeah. The only place I feel safe is in my house with my family. Like, you know, I mean, it was crazy. I'm lucky in that my family, you know, like my parents and my brother and stuff, we're good, man. There's no, like, you can't see mom because you didn't get the vaccine. There was none of that. And it was mainly in my friend circle, but, I wanted to talk about the kids because, you know, the war on kids right now, it's one of those things I think that once you see it, you can't unsee it. And I would have never predicted we would see such an onslaught towards our children. It's in everything. I've focused here on education and schools, but it's in social media. It's TikTok. It's the media. It's the medical system. It is just, it's everywhere. And I guess, you know, I wanted to start off by just asking you, like, who's at the other end of it? Who is it in your eyes? And there's a bunch of ways to say it. That's the thing, is there's no right way to say who is the enemy. Because if you're a Christian, you might state it one way. If you've studied the deep state, you might say it a different way. If you've, you know, if you know about communism, you might say it that way. But who in your eyes is the group that's after the kids?
Oh, yeah. So you're right. There is this massive war on children, you know, and that's where Mom Army sprang from, you know, this terminology that we are at war and it will take an army to combat this. I mean, we're using this language intentionally at this point, just to you know, sort of illustrate where we are. This is a war. Yeah. And you're correct, Tony. I mean, once you see it, you cannot unsee it. And there's a lot of parallels between the ability to see the war on children and the ability to see the COVID pandemic, or whatever you want to call it, the complete joke that was pulled on people, to get them to comply to things that they typically wouldn't. And you know, I've been through this, I'm 4 years in now, and a lot of things have opened up for me. You know, first there's this seeing what's happening. There's all of the deep dives. I mean, I would imagine yourself and all of your listeners have rabbit done, holes. Oh my gosh, for days. I mean,
you have to,
and,
right?
Yeah. There's a whole cycle to it. And, you know, I have a lot of compassion for those that are going to, unfortunately, at some point have to go through this at a much more accelerated rate than I think they could mentally handle. And this is where I think a lot of us are going to come in useful. I mean, I think every person who is still kind of stuck in the lie, they are very much keeping track of that conspiracy theory friend that they have, and they will be asking them questions when the time comes. And what I will say as a side note to COVID before I dive into this war on children, because it's a big deal. Yeah. The one place that always gave me hope, because I did use my social media platform to begin to speak out And I have a private account as well on Instagram that is primarily a California audience, that I just annihilated them with information because I was like, you don't get to say you didn't know if you know me. Like that was kind of where I was at. And what's interesting is not a single person unfollowed me. Even they maybe hated me, but they didn't unfollow me.
And
the other interesting part of it was I would get side messages and I would get side questions. No one would say it in front of other people. And, you know, I have these group text messages and all of these things going on in my life, like many of us do, but I would get private messages about the kids. Do you think that I should give this to my kids? So that people are willing to put themselves on the chopping block, but they're not with their kids. And that brings me a tremendous amount of hope because when it comes to kids, that is when we say no. We're willing to put ourselves out there. We're willing to take a bunch of crap and play a lot of pretend. I call it the Emperor's New Clothes. If you remember that, that story where everybody pretends that they see this beautiful outfit and the Emperor's naked, you know, and no one's willing to say what they see. But when it comes to the kids, it makes me hopeful that people are willing to step in. However, I don't see as many people seeing the war the way that we have. And I think that COVID, that time was a conduit for a lot of us to wake up. For other people, it was, you know, 9/11 or, you know, there's a variety of modalities to get into seeing the truth, but you've got to get that door open a little bit so you can begin to receive information. And then once you get in, then you get to see the war that's happening. And so during that whole sort of 4-year transition I've gone through, you know, anger, outrage, essentially just trying to drag people into seeing things my way. I realized that that was a futile, you know, prospect. And I finally stopped and, you know, I stepped into, just being the change that I want to see. So I'm going to work towards solutions versus trying to get everyone to see the way that I do. And
I think what you said there was really important too, in that sometimes people like us, I take it for granted. Like I have been down rabbit holes since 9/11 and in some ways even before that, because I was really curious about extraterrestrials when I was younger, right? So I was like, I was kind of always looking for I felt like the truth was always kind of looking for me. It had got my attention when I was younger. It was whispering at me during 9/11. And I was, I came to find out I'm a natural kind of, I'm persistent and I will dig. And then I go, hey, this looks a lot like this over here. All so that I can talk about these things because it's difficult. As you know, when you first get in a rabbit hole, you're like, gee, it's so much cognitive dissonance. Because think about it, Jessica. I used to be a liberal. That meant I was like, the government's doing the best they can. Like, I had no idea. I had no idea there was a psychopathic, like, Luciferian cabal that hated people at the top and that the government was kind of a sham. Like, if you would have said that, I'm like, hey, that's pretty harsh, man. Like, take it down a notch. You know, Henry Kissinger's just doing the best he can. No, he wasn't. He's a complete psychopath who hates people, hates human children. That's the truth. And all it took was me going down a few different rabbit holes to go, oh, wait a minute. Now it's making more sense. They're not doing, you know, it dawns on you. Like, there's like these light bulb moments when you're like, oh my God, of course, they hate humans. That's why it looks like this, right? Duh.
Yes.
Like,
it's
oh my
so hard.
God. Yeah. And it's like, wait a minute. And now it's a little bit like, once you see it, you can't unsee it. It's like, okay, now I know that there's an enemy of my tribe, which is all of humanity. I don't care about what your skin color is, what you're like, your sexual orientation. Like you do you, but just like you, I'm like, wait a minute, you're trying to vastly reduce the human population and you're going after children to change genders and to hate their country. And now you're waking up something in us that says, no way, dude, we see what you are and we're going to counter you with the best that we have. And we have some courageous people on our side and we're waking people up. But I take it for granted a little bit that I've been at this for 2 decades and really intensely the last 10 years. So I can if something new comes, I can make sense of it. The people that haven't been down any rabbit holes, everything's cognitive dissonance right now. They're like, what do you mean it was a plandemic? What do you mean, you know, Bill Gates isn't a good guy? You know, they can't get their head around any of it. And it's like, so I'm doing these episodes where I'm like, they're sociopaths, they're psychopaths. So it means this for us, right? And so I'm pointing to the emperor with no clothes. I'm calling that out. And so I think to your point, it's really important for us. I don't need to convince anybody anymore. Like, we have put the information out there, and it's I think more beneficial for us to speak really skillfully to build the bridge where they're like, wait a minute, Jessica and Tony aren't calling us, you know, sheeple, idiots. They're not pointing that we're dumb. They're actually inviting us in a way that, and they actually make a little bit more sense than all the noise I see. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And that's where I landed. Yeah. I mean, it's the door is always open. You're always invited. You need to take the step though. And that's the difference. Instead of chasing people with truth, it's just standing in it and with an open invitation. And I think there's a whole process that you have to go through, because I was super mad.
Me too.
I'll be honest. I was not gracious.
No, me neither.
Always. But you just get to a point, much like with COVID, you're like, well, how long can I do this? You know, because, and I do see a lot of people, they call it blackpilled, right? Where you are just so angry about what's happening, and it's everything, you know, and then you get just as stuck in this sort of external explanation of things. And, you know, kind of getting back to the thought about that, the war on children, when you go through this process, there's a lot of external blame that happens. This happened, this happened, this happened. And those were actually just invitations to understand something differently, so that you can get to a place of recognizing, and this sometimes sounds crazy, but the more that you think about it, the more it makes sense. This is truly a spiritual war that's happening. It's good versus evil. And it's even more apparent when people go after children. I mean, it just is. Adults do what you will, but when you're coming after the innocent,
I know,
and you're actually coming after innocence itself,
I know,
how do you not see that as spiritual warfare? And then it's this whole other conversation of how do we combat this, and what are the tactics, and who are these people that are doing this? And it's, in my opinion, it's a few. I think we all kind of recognize that we have the numbers, right?
For sure.
If we all choose to wake up, we have the numbers to counteract this, but they have put a lot of work into understanding our psychology, our psyche, our programming. And once you step out, then you can really become responsible for knowing yourself and knowing how susceptible you've been. And then you start reprogramming yourself, and you start, and that's the way. And it's not such an easy place to get to, as I'm sure you recognize. We're not going to always. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No. What did you say? We're not always going to what?
Oh, we're not going to always get there from even a political perspective. You know, there's definitely politics attached to things. But I think, and I think what you were mentioning too, is just that bridge. Like, I'm such an advocate of the unification. I think that we're way more connected and unified than we are divided. You know,
absolutely. Yeah. I went through, my wife and I both went through that kind of angry warrior phase during COVID. And as we were learning more about what's going on with children, and we just got so pissed off. But it's like, you can't, as you know, you can't, that's a message that just only goes so far. People can only hear so much of you just railing, and you gotta calm down, assess the war. What's my role? What's going to help more people wake up? Because you're right. It is the more of us that wake up. And I think if you could show people in a 2-hour documentary, exactly everything we know about what's gone on, that would be game over. Like, people would just be like, oh my God, I had no idea, but now it makes sense. Like, they're using the celebrities to do this, and they're doing this. Holy moly. no wonder the kids are not smart out of school. That's not what they're doing anymore. They're indoctrinating them in this weird ideology. Now it's got transgenders part of it. And I think everybody would be on the side of children, or at least most would be, right? I think the globalist / deep state / psycho, however you want to say it, the dark side, they're so desperate to keep us from spreading the truth about what's going on, because they know once we do, it is Nuremberg 2.0, it's Gitmo, it's crimes against humanity, it's all these different things. And, you know, I say bring it. I say bring on an accelerated great awakening so that we can smother this great reset that they've been planning for decades, that we're all going to be complying to every little thing they say, which is a bunch of BS. But I wanted to shift gears just a little bit and ask you about Mom Army. Like, what kind of stuff are you doing? We've obviously touched on the war against kids, but what kind of things is Mom Army? Is it beyond a community of concerned mothers who are like, hey, we're going to have to treat this like a battle? What sorts of things are you doing in that group?
Well, I think, you know, it's been a bit of a transition. We're 2 years in and, you know, we're volunteer based. I mean, we haven't even talked about it, but I'm an interior designer. I mean, like, I was not trained for this. Yeah. You know, my training was not masking. You know, that's the way I see it. When I didn't mask during COVID, and that was my training on really just kind of being a warrior, being an activist. I found my voice during that time, but, you know, we're all volunteer based, and we just celebrated our 2-year anniversary. And, you know, there's a variety of ways of things that we do. And there's a variety of war fronts on children, but mostly what we've done and what we will continue to do is build community and build an amazing coalition of people that are in this fight. And we really don't believe in recreating the wheel. It's not like, oh, you're fighting the war on children better than us, and so we need to do this. It's, oh, you're doing that too.
Yeah.
Let's connect and let's share. Yeah. And there's just no ego in it. And so really, our founder, Seek Smith, is just an incredible human being and a great connector. And she brings people together. So I would say the number one thing that we've been doing for the past couple years, in just in a very meaningful way, is building a community and a coalition of people. You know, we're pretty outspoken. We've broken out of the mold, but getting these types of people together is kind of challenging. You know, how do you get the rebels to rally?
Yeah.
It's kind of tough.
Sounds like you're building, like, you guys are got a big tent to stand under though, right? Like, you're not like saying, oh, if you're, you know, if somebody woke up from COVID, or somebody woke up because they were on a school board and like, oh my God, you can't believe what I'm finding out. Like, anybody that is connected to the war on children that's on the pro-humanity side sounds like it would fit in your army.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, for the most part, the reason that we formed, well, there was a variety of reasons for the formation, but most of the people that find us, and we do have a growing dad army as well. There was a need for protection. You know, as far as we see it, the mom army protects the kids and the dad army protects both. Like, that is the order of importance. You know, and not everyone's going to necessarily agree with that. But where was I going with all of this? I lost my train of thought.
Sorry. No, you're doing
but
good.
What I remember now. So it was that people felt alone, and there was a time. And it's less so now. And, you know, for people like you, Tony, like, you're OG, man. Like, I have so much respect for people that have been doing this for decades. Like, I don't even get it how you were able to do that, because it is so in your face right now. Mm-hmm. But someone might say that about me later on. I hope so. I truly hope so. But, you know, so many people felt very alone and not supported. And this just allows a strength in numbers. And that's really what we're providing. You know, so no one should have to go to a school board meeting by themselves. I went to a school board meeting by myself. That was scary. You know, no one should have to show up at your state capitol to oppose legislation, propose legislation. No one should have to do that alone. And that's really where we started. That's what we do. We've done protests. Been a part of legislative action. We provide, you know, community support. And then we also have many events as well. I mean, we really kind of all the fronts, whatever the need is. And we do have this amazing group of women, and it's so funny. We're like the busiest humans ever, but we somehow find time for this. It's incredible. Much like all of the patriots that are out there fighting this war, you know, we're so busy, but we still do this.
I remember being at AmFest and seeing Charlie Kirk, who's just so, there was so many inspirational speakers here, but Charlie Kirk was up there saying, this is going to be my busiest year yet. And as you well know, he's in Phoenix too. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that I was like, wow, that is so, like, everybody's got to have their sleeves rolled up right now. Like, whether the war is accelerated, that means we need to all be on, you know, it's game on. It's not a time to wait and see what the Patriots are going to do. It's like, get connected, you know, make sure you're active. Like, you got to be, you know, and I was just super inspired by that notion of kind of like, he's just calling everybody to the fight. Like, I'm going to work harder than I've ever worked. Will you join me? You know, and Vivek's kind of saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. I'm like, our leaders are speaking to us and saying, look, you know, whatever you got to do, it might be running for office, it might be getting in there in the school board, whatever, being part of Mom Army, your dad army, like whatever your role is, podcasting, you know, this is the year. These are the years to like roll up your sleeves and do your part. And I just love that because, you know, like you, I was never interested in having a podcast that was a truther pod. I didn't know I was going to be doing this stuff, man. You know, like I just, you know, God wanted me, you know, and you talked about me being an OG, like back in the day, it was a fetish. Like my wife's like, why are you reading all these things about this weird topics? I'm like, I don't know why I'm doing it, honey. I feel compelled to learn. I go, I'm seeing a pattern. I just want to understand it. She's like, you're nuts, man. But then over the years, she would, you know, she would talk to me about stuff and be like, you know what, it's making a lot of sense. And then she became this like big researcher on things herself. So yeah, it's just, you know, the truth had my attention when I was younger. You know, you're a homeschooling mom. I want to talk about this a little bit and give you a chance to mention the ESA, because I did not know about that ESA program that you had mentioned in the email. But I just had your friend Pamela Garfield Yeager on. And the episode before that, I had Dr. Mark McDonald, who's a child and adolescent psychiatrist in LA. And Mark said, look, I'm telling all parents, get your kids out of public schools, get them out. They're literally in danger right now, not just ideologically, but they're in danger of being castrated, sterilized. They are coming after them. And then Pamela nodded her head the next episode in agreement and said, yeah, I completely agree with Mark. And I used to be a school counselor for 10 years. Like they're the worst. They are coming after the kids. Get them out. So I think there's a lot of parents that are like, wait a minute, I can't afford private school. I don't think that it should be an obstacle right now. It should not be, can I put them in an expensive private school or not? I think, and in Seattle, we've seen this exodus out of public schools. It's hemorrhaging kids as parents are waking up. And I think you're going to see more and more of that. We're closing like 12 schools because they're like, we just don't have the money. But it's not just the money. It's the kids are leaving because parents are like, I don't know what's going on, but I don't have a good feeling about this. Mm-hmm. So I guess for you, what would you say to homeschooling parents right now? And how has that been for you? How have you done that? And then the ESA program that you mentioned, which is a scholarship program, I think, for homeschooling parents. Tell us a little bit about that, because I don't know about that.
Sure. And for good reason. No one wants you to know about it. Mm-hmm. So that's the first of its kind here in Arizona. And we're, of course, looking to spread that throughout the United States. But yeah, I think just to address the first question, you know, whether or not children belong in the public school system, I think resoundingly no. And if they are there, you better make sure that they're prepared to handle what they're seeing. I mean, putting them in blind without any conversation is really, I mean, I don't want to make anyone feel badly. Mm-hmm. You're just putting them in a place that they are not prepared to handle. And you may not know it, but once you hear someone say it, then it becomes your responsibility as a parent to make sure that if you are going to have your children in a public school system, that you are 1,000% aware of what's happening and not just how was your day kind of conversations with your kids. And the only reason I can say that is because I did that. You know, I had my kids in school, and this is before COVID even happened, before any of this transgender, I mean, it is next leveled. But there's, I mean, there just has been kind of a slow breakdown of the school system itself. And prior to COVID, I was unaware of that. And, you know, I did that, drop my kids off at school, asked them how their day was, everything was fine. Meanwhile, they literally are being treated like prisoners. Their natural critical thinking skills, their natural curiosity, their natural love for learning has been squashed on such a level that is abusive, as far as I'm concerned. And that's, you know, that's at the heart of the issue. And then you start adding on these mandates and mask protocols and making them afraid of their own breath and not seeing people's faces. And then on top of that, having them, allowing them to question their gender openly. I mean, it's just, at this point, if you don't see it, I don't know how you don't. And I really try and have compassion. But really, I think what it comes down to is just this fear of seeing it, because then you, at some point, once you understand, you become responsible. You have, through understanding, you do have a responsibility to act. And we all know during COVID, when those kids went home and never went back, life changed for parents. And we recognize that we've been relying on the school system to take our kids so that we can work. You know, everyone does that in a different way. For me, I was empowered through my kids coming home. First of all, I was appalled by what I heard. I didn't let my kids have their headphones on during those awful Zoom calls. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to what was going on. And I even popped my head in some of these classes. And I really did not understand what was happening until I heard it with my own ears. And that's a whole other conversation too, just about the education system
to COVID. I remember when my son was in primary school, in public school, and, you know, it was pre-trans and all that stuff, but just something logistically simple like lunch, they would give them like 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And they would sit down and these little ducklings would want to talk to their friends and they would be shouting at them to eat their food in a hurry. And I'm like, we go to the principal, go, what is going on with 15 minutes for lunch? That should be like an hour. Like, and they just stonewall us, just like, hey, we've got a lot to teach them. Well, then fast forward years later and you realize, you know what? They're not really learning to read and write all that well. They're just, mm-hmm. they're just jamming all this Marxist stuff. They're trying to groom dumbed down activists for the left. That's mm-hmm. what this whole thing is about. It's not even about empowering them because they're not teaching them proper math. All the scores are down across the country, like pretty much uniformly, like everything. There's just tons of kids not reading and math scores below grade. And that's trending in the wrong direction. They've even had to reconfigure the test scores so that it doesn't look like they're failing just miserably, which they are. It's unbelievable. I kind of regret not maybe homeschooling. There's some things I regret, but it's natural in a war to be like, you know, damn it, why didn't I pivot that earlier? He probably would have been better off, or he might, you know, but we did the best we could and we recognized it and got him out of there. But yeah, I don't know, man. To your point, I think a lot of parents they don't want to look, because mm-hmm. then I might have to have difficult conversations with my husband about what are we going to do? We can't afford, you know, Christian school or a private school that knows about this stuff. And, you know, I like what you said, Jessica, that if you're going to send them there, you got to talk to them ahead of time. You got to prepare them, because then they might be like, oh, you know, this is kind of what mom was saying, that they're going to try to, you know, jam this stuff, this gender stuff. They're going to talk all about, okay, you know, but when they're blindsided by it, I think that they could be more negatively impacted. Don't you think?
Absolutely. You know, and you really got to empower them. And the reason that they're so compliant is because they're traumatized on some level. Yeah. You know, what's going on in the school systems. And I grew up with a family of teachers, so I am not demonizing teachers. They are truly mm-hmm. doing the best that they can. And there are some, especially the newer crop, that have absolutely been programmed a certain direction, and you can see it.
Yep.
But yeah, you know, you do need to prepare them. And, you know, I do have, so currently I have a family of five, and Three of them are homeschooling. So the 17-year-old, he's working, getting his GED, learning a trade, which is fabulous. Mm-hmm. I have a high schooler that's in school this year. We are at a charter school, Waldorf, if anyone knows what that is. I won't go into mm-hmm. too much depth. But he, you know, first week of school, hey, mom, the Spanish teacher's teaching pronouns.
Oh,
like, well, that's kind of a part of Spanish. Yeah, but also...
Yeah, yeah, which pronouns? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, but he knows, like, he's, you know, and he's aware. And that's the best thing you can do is empower your kids. So, you know, like, you may not be able to homeschool. You may not be able to do these things, but you can have a conversation with your child about what might be going on and why that might be happening and how to counteract that. And my child knows. I tell him, I said, you know what, we're going to be respectful. He's at a small school, but we do have the transgender movement in there, and we are going to mm-hmm. be respectful of how individuals choose to show up. And if they have selected pronouns that they want, you are going to do your best to be respectful of their wishes, much like, hey, my name's Jessica, but I don't like to be called Jesse. Like, that's okay.
Yeah.
Above and beyond that, when they start making things up, you do not have to do that. And you can say, I choose to not do that. And I will support you 1,000%. So I don't care what happens at school. If these are the parameters, you must always be kind and respectful, but you also will not be following dumb rules. And I teach my kids that. Don't follow stupid rules. And that's, anyone can do that.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. I love it. That's so great. You know, you had talked about living in love instead of fear. And mm-hmm. I can tell by how you express all these different, these are challenging topics. Like, they're really divisive because the enemy wants us divided, because that's the whole key to the whole thing working for them, is that if we can just keep us bickering about this and that and just all this noise, how do you keep above it, above the fray, but still be in your principles? How do you stay in love, not fear? I can tell by how you talk about all these issues that that's the way that you choose to live. But how do you go about that? And what does that look like for you?
Well, this is maybe where I get a little woo-woo. Sorry. I do think that the greatest divide is, and I think we saw it during COVID, and I think it's such... what happened is such, there's so many lessons to learn there. Mm. And that was such a divide, and it was shocking. I know it was for you. It must have been have people just so stuck in this other way and unable. We talk about the can't versus the won't, like just unable to see it a different way. Mm. And, you know, I'm a big person getting into the essence of things. And so we can sit here and we can talk all day about a variety of things that will divide us. But the main thing that's happening, and the biggest division, is the choice to live in fear or to live in love. Mm. And, you know, that might sound, I don't know what that sounds like, but it's really where I've landed as far as the essence of what's going on. And those that live in fear are very willing to take someone else's definition of the world.
Yes.
Whatever it is. And those that live in love are willing to do that, to live in a way that they might be alone, but they're living in a world where they are defining the truth, and that they're not allowing someone else to define it for them. And I think that is, there's a lot to that. I mean, we're kind of built in a society where we're heavily traumatized. We don't understand ourselves. We don't understand how our subconscious works. We don't understand even our basic neurology, how our brains work. And the powers that be, they know this stuff. I mean, if you could learn anything, figure out the way that your brain works, because they know. And they're using it against you. And now they're using it against your kids. So I think, like, for me, just living in love is, as silly as that might sound, when you're in a space of, you're talking about something, a conversation, you're talking about any given topic, where are you in your own body? You know, like, and this is a lot about, like, knowing yourself. Are you in this embodied, empowered state? Or are you coming from a nervous, traumatized state and recognizing that in yourself? Are you in your head or are you in your heart? Because it's a different feeling. And that's really how I do it. And the way that I explain it to my children, because it always comes back to kids, I tell them to take an elevator ride from their head into their heart. And that's where the answers are. And I think all of us can take that elevator ride from intellectualizing things and move that thought into your heart, And I'll stop with the woo-woo stuff, but
no, that's okay.
Yeah. it's really important.
It's really good. And I think to your point too, that the our road is simple. They want to complicate things. They want to keep mm-hmm. showing all this, their whole system, their medical system, their education system, everything is built on lies and deceptions. Like, we don't even really know our true history. Like, I'm not talking mm-hmm. about, like, we know that there was a civil war and it for America and all this stuff. We know that part, but ancient history they've kept from us. Like, I think there's a whole, we're basically a battered and bruised species coming out of this weird war where we didn't even know we were in a war. And we'd been captured by the enemy who was pretending like they were our friends the whole time. Like, and look at how compliant humans are. Like, we're really trained and we're traumatized and then trained to like listen to the authorities. And you could see it during COVID, but it's like, oh, well, my doctor says this. It's like, you know, now I'm like, I don't know about the you know, I look at the motivations for everybody and I see ulterior motives for a lot of what is supposed to be quote unquote good for us. But I just love that your message of love, it's not woo-jee-woo. It is really kind of our superpower. It simplifies our hero's journey. And right now, I think people are starved for simple paths, a simple road that they can take, because people are so confused with cognitive dissonance and they're so traumatized. They're so traumatized, they can't look at the truth about what they're doing to kids. They're like, I can't handle that. It's like, I know you can't, sweetheart, because you've been so messed up. You've been so traumatized yourself and battered by what's been going on. And we've been breathing dirty, nasty, deceptive air for so long that we can't, mm-hmm. we get a breath of fresh air and we're like, it's overwhelming. It's like, I know it's overwhelming. I totally get that. And I just love how compassionate you are to the side that is emerging and trying to wake up. It's a little bit like Neo that's like coming out of that slime pod going, what in the hell is going on? It's like, and so I just so appreciate your perspective. Thank you so much for coming on Basecamp, Jessica. And is there any, where do people find you? Where do they find Mom Army? Where can people, you know, get connected to you? How do you prefer that to be done before we sign off today?
Sure. So definitely Instagram is the best way to connect with the Mom Army, and it's the.momarmy. We have a variety of different battalions, essentially. We've got 25 of them across the country at this point. If you'd like to connect with me directly, I'm on Instagram as well, at BeTheChange1111, Jessica Arburn. And I welcome any questions. I welcome really any person that's seeking the truth. It's a brave walk. It's a brave journey, and you don't necessarily have to do it alone.
Love it. Well, thank you so much, Jessica, for coming on and giving us your time today. Really loved sitting around the fire with you and chatting about all these super important issues.
Me as well. Thank you so much, Tony.
I hope you enjoyed our time with Jessica as much as I did. To find out more, join and support Mom Army, go to www.mom-army.com. Thank you, Base Campers, and we'll see you around the fire next week. If you find value in our show and wish to show us some love, we are now making that very easy to do. You simply go to www.basecampformen.com and click on Donate Support Basecamp. You'll find an easy way to make either monthly donations for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate just once. We love the monthly donation and hope to build this up over the coming months, but any show of support is greatly appreciated, honestly. Thank you for your support and for helping to keep Basecamp as a resource on your hero's journey. That's our show for today. Thank you for listening. Men, good luck in all your endeavors and good luck on your hero's journey. This is Tony Rezac, and you're listening to Basecamp for Men.